I do want to say that our congregation is joining with you in the burden and the battle that you're fighting for your pastor. We believe God is still hearing prayer. I want to start this morning with some of the verses from Psalms 19, from verses 7 through 9. I'm just going to use part of the words there to get our thought this morning. It speaks about the law of the Lord. It is perfect. It says that the statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. And then it says the judgments are true and righteous altogether. This morning I want to give you first a word, balance. The word of the Lord is balanced. It's uniform. It has order. The word of the Lord, and I'm going to use this phrase, is woven together. It fits together. It works together. One part doesn't really oppose the other part. So the word balance, oftentimes when we say that word, we may think of a balance beam scales. And I believe that the word of the Lord, all of the doctrines, all of the teachings are balanced. I believe that the judgments that are true and righteous altogether are balanced. So this morning we have one side of a coin. And Lord willing, we hope to give the balance tonight. And I hope that you will some way listen to the balance. Because the message this morning does need balance. But it is definitely one side. I desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to know how to give the word this morning. And that he will help us to give the balance tonight. Our topic has to do with believers and non-believers and their association. It's not necessarily a common subject. A few weeks ago, I had an individual ask me that question. Isn't there something in the Bible that says that we are not to associate with unbelievers? And as soon as the question was given, I said, well, yes, but there's a balance. So I want to start with a prayer that Jesus prayed for the church in John, the 17th chapter. Not going to read all of the verses. The thought this morning is an extensive thought, and I want to avail myself of every moment. So I'm going to be looking at verses 9, 11, 12, 14 through 16, parts of those verses. Verse 9, Jesus said, I pray for them, for the church. I'm putting that word in there. Which thou hast given me. Verse 11. A portion of that verse says, these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Verse 14. I have given them thy word. That's the first part of the verse. The middle part says, they are not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I'm going to stop there. We may refer to this a little bit later. But I'm thinking of how Jesus came into this world. He was sent into this world with a purpose, for a purpose, with a mission. And even though he had a ministry of only 3 years, to us that's a very short time. It was a very powerful mission. His mission was to come to save the lost. And that included you and me. And he taught. And you and I have the word. We're so blessed to have the word of God. But he taught a lot about this world. And there is no way that we can complete a subject on the world. We're just going to be able to touch the surface of it, and then what the Lord wants to do is take it and magnify it and enlarge it for you, maybe in your devotions. So we go to a scripture in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 15. It says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptations, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. So the word says it. It's not just a good phrase that is used by a minister. It is in the word. And so he was sent into the world to save sinners. And so his teachings are now all of those laws that I spoke about, the statutes, the commandments, all of those things are worthy for you and me to accept them because it is his word. So let's read now James, the 4th chapter, verse 4. It says, the fellowship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I'm going to give you several scriptures now to connect our thought and to establish what his teachings were. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. Very familiar scripture. Possibly we memorized it when we were young. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Now let's go to Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You and I are, a term was used in the prayer request. The term was coexisting, but we are existing in this world. And we must be not conformed We must not be under the influence of this world. We must be transformed. We must have a new mind. We must see things in a different light than the world. We must not have the same opinions of the world. Our transformation is going to be a purification of our mind, that we not think like the world, we not talk like the world, we not live like the world. Let's go to James now, 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, and I'm going down to the latter part of the verse, is to keep himself unspotted from the world. So the people of God are a separate people in the world. The scripture calls the people of God peculiar. Do you like to be peculiar? It has a negative connotation sometimes. In the eyes of the world, you and I are peculiar. We're strange. We're different. They may have that judgment of us. But what's important is, how does God judge us? I want to consider, in the eyes of God, how he judges the people of God in the world. Even though the world may even think that we are misfits, and maybe sometimes we may feel like a misfit. Do you ever feel like a misfit in the world? I'm glad if you do. For if you fit in the world, then you don't have the mind of Christ. That sounds hard, but I hope that we can get the thought this morning. Peculiar comes from a Latin word that means special, remarkable. Another definition was the private property of one person. So when we think of that, don't we think of the scripture that says you cannot serve two masters? You will love the one or hate the other, or you will cling to the one and despise the other. That is the word of God. You can't live on both, straddle the fence. If you belong to one, Christ is our master. If we belong to him, we are peculiar to him. We're special to him. Thank the Lord. So I'm going to give you some of the word of the Lord concerning how God looks on his peculiar people. I know we all think of the one in the New Testament, and definitely we want to include that passage, but I want to go to the Old Testament. Exodus 19 and 5. And it says, if ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people in the world. I added that. We are in the world. But if we obey him, if we love his way, do you love the way of the Lord? Do you love the word of God? If you have a coolness about the word of God or the ways of God, seek to be fired up, because you want to be a peculiar treasure above all the people of the world. Chosen. Another Old Testament scripture is Deuteronomy 14:2. God's people, this is what it says, it means, I'm not going to quote all of it, are a holy people. Being holy definitely will separate you and me from the world, because the world is unholy. So to be one of God's chosen people and be holy, it will separate us. But this verse also says that God hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people. And then it says, above all nations. Do you see your place in the world? Do you see the place of the world? More than once, there are scriptures speaking of a peculiar treasure unto the world, above all of the world. Several places. I'm only going to give you the two. So now we, of course, have to include the scripture over in 1 Peter 2 and 9. And I know it's familiar to us all. And this is what it says. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. You're a special people in the world, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of something, of darkness, into his marvelous light. So we have another little step right here that identifies the people of God. Not only are they peculiar, a special treasure, a royal priesthood, but they are a people that are called out of darkness. The scripture is so plain about darkness and light. And it says, if we walk in the light, we will not walk in darkness. Darkness represents our flesh. Light represents the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the clean Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk in darkness, how great will that darkness become? So here we have, we're called out of the darkness. We're called to walk in light. Thank the Lord. So let's go to another scripture. Let's dwell on the thoughts now of a called out people. Revelations, the 18th chapter. We're going to read verses 2 through 4. Parts of those verses say, there was an angel, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon. Do you hear much about Babylon today? Are we familiar about Babylon? Do we know what it represents? It's not popular. There was a time in my day when I was young that the ministry, we heard many messages concerning Babylon. And we heard many messages concerning this passage that I'm going to give. It's still a message. It is still for today. And it says that Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It takes a vision and an understanding to know what this really means or to see it. Because in some ways, even though the exhortation that was given to us at prayer request, that Christianity may not be popular, we still have many so-called Christians. We have many sectarian movements, many churches, and the message is still come out. It's a called out. The people of God are a called out people. And yet we know that God has the understanding that where the scripture says that this is the seal of the Lord, that he knoweth everyone that belongeth to him. So out there in the religious world, there are people with honest hearts. I don't have to go and say, you're saved and you're in and you're out. I don't have to do that. That's not my job. That's God's job. But he tells you and me not to be a partaker, to keep ourselves separate from even Babylon. It's not popular, but we need to hear it. We could start crossing some lines. We could begin to fellowship other spirits when we know the Spirit is light. We need to walk in the light. And then it says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And then we go to verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins. I believe that this passage is a message to us today. Maybe it's not as... I started to say it was not as necessary. I believe it is necessary. But I believe we need to be warned of the world even more because of the influences of the world. So I could read this and I could say, come out of the world, my people, and do not partake of the sins of the world. We must keep it in our mind. The scripture plainly tells us that we must have a vision. It says if you and I do not have a vision, we will perish. We've got to have a vision of the truth, of those laws, those statutes, those the fear of the Lord, the judgments of God. We need a clear vision that we not cross the lines, blur the lines. When we water down the truth, what do? We blur the lines. We don't see a plain way. We're in a confusion when we blur the lines of his teachings. So let's go to another scripture now. Well, I want to give one more thought in that one, to not be a partaker of her sins. What the world says, and I know you know it's true, the world will say everyone's going to heaven, just on a different path. We're all going to get there. That's just part of the belief of the world. If you ever read much about obituaries in the newspaper, I don't know how many takes the newspaper anymore. They're not very popular. My husband loved to take the paper for the obituaries. You will find a number, everyone that's in there will say, he went to be with the Lord. And then they begin to tell about their life. And you wonder, can they really go and be with the Lord when their priority was to live in the fast lane and when their priority was of the world, we've got to remember we're all facing the judgment. God will judge us, and it will be in righteousness. It will not be my opinion of how good you are or how you think of me, but it will be because He knows me and He knows you. And we will be judged by those things. The scripture says we'll be judged for the deeds that are done in the body. So when we think of the church of God, and we have been taught there is one true way, is that distasteful? It's not popular in the world. People would reject that message. But do you? Do you reject the message that there is but one true way? Well, you might say, well, you know, I believe Brother Austis told this. He said that he was talking to a man one time, and that man said, oh, you just think that just those that go to your church is the only ones that's going to be saved. And Brother Austis said, no, maybe 50%, basing it on the five wise and the five foolish. And that's true. But we have a song that says, there is but one true way. What is that way? The Bible way. So you and I must take the Bible way to be in the one true way. So I want to go to Matthew now, the 7th chapter. I'm going to look at 13 and 14. Jesus said here, and it's a command sentence, so the subject would be you. We could say you. You, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So Jesus then said, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I believe that the Lord was trying to say here, understand the broad way is of the world. You are in the world, but be very aware there is a broad way that leadeth to destruction. That you and I need to understand the narrow way or the straight gate, the hard way. Why do we call it hard? Because it wars against our spirit. The scripture says that the flesh warreth against my spirit. There's a war going on. There is a test, a trial. There is temptations. There are snares, traps, all set to draw you back. To draw me away. Doesn't matter how long we live for the Lord. Doesn't matter what we do for the Lord. The scripture is so plain that when the righteous will sin, their righteousness will not be remembered anymore. That's the word of the Lord. And so the enemy of my soul knows this. I'm in the world, but I am not of the world. Thank the Lord. So Jesus here is telling us that he wants all of his peculiar treasure to really be separate, to choose. He's told us in various places of his word, I set before you this day life and death, Every day that you and I awaken in this world, we make a choice. We can make a choice. We can choose life. But you have the opportunity to choose otherwise in this world. As long as you are in this world, there's going to be a contest. Every day, you haven't made it. The end has not come. Your end of your life has not come. So you still must fight on. Thank the Lord. So we have two ways. We have a straight way, and we have a broad way. And remember, it says that there are few that will find that straight and narrow way. So is there one true way? It is the Bible way. It will behoove you and me to study the Word of God, and we are commanded to do so. Study the Word to show yourself approved unto God in this world. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now, the 10th chapter, verse 21. And this is a very critical scripture. And 10 and 21, I'm sorry. Okay. This scripture says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. It says that you and I cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. I know that's very unpopular. It's unpopular to talk about the devil. People don't like to even hear that term. We need to know who the devil is in this world, in this age. The scripture says that Satan is the god of this world. The scripture says that he is the ruler of darkness. So I'm going to reread the scripture now. You can't drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the world at the same time. That no Christian, I'm putting this in my words, no Christian can eat at the Lord's table and eat at the table of the world at the same time. Going to change the thought just a little bit. Going to go back over to the Old Testament and Leviticus and give you what the Lord says. Leviticus 20 and 26, I believe. Well, actually, I'm going to start reading a few verses ahead of that. Because in verse 22, he speaks of all of his statutes and his judgments with a commandment that we do them. And then verse 23, he says, ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation. We could say of the world. We're not to walk in the manners of the world. In verse 24 says, I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land. We're going to be blessed in this world, even though we are peculiar, different. It says that, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Do you see that God is calling for us to be separate in this world? Verse 25, ye shall therefore put the difference between the clean and the unclean. We should understand what is unclean of the world. We should understand the difference. And then verse 26, ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people. Now, this is Old Testament teaching, but it carries over into the New. Are you getting a picture of how God looks at His special treasures in this world? Let's go now to Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, verse 11. And it says, I'm going to give you part of that. It says, make confession unto the Lord God and do His pleasure. You know, if you and I are seeking after the Lord, we will be pursuing Him and saying, Lord, what is your pleasure for my life in this world? So this scripture is telling us to seek for His pleasure. And then it says, and then you and I are to separate ourselves from the people of the land. Is this popular? It's not popular. But it's the word of God. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. And it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There are questions that are asked following that statement in the next two or three verses. And it says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Another question there said, what communion hath light with darkness? In verse 15, it says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Do you see how the Lord is looking at us in this world? Verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Verse 17, and then it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I didn't say it. The word of the Lord says it. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So we want to close now with some scriptures and thoughts from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. In this chapter, we call it the roll call, or it says it in my Bible here, the roll call of heroes of faith. And this is a people that was in the world, but not of the world. And these were people that were, they said they were strangers and pilgrims. And it says that they basically, we're just passing through this world. And then it says that they were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. In this passage, it also says they were looking for another country in another world. And in that other world, it was a heavenly habitation prepared for his peculiar treasures. That's our little thought this morning. And I want to remind you there is a balance. And by the help of the Lord, we hope to give the balance. But this is, we must be separated in this world. Pray for me.